I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks for listening to the Primetime with Isaac and Souk. I'm Isaac, the cool one.
What? This is our podcast.
Yeah. Welcome to our podcast.
I don't know. It's brought to you by Les Schwab, though.
Yeah.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
How and why are you drunk at 6 o'clock?
Well, the how's pretty self-explanatory, and the why is because I thought we were leaving at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Ergo, Latin, plenty of time to sleep it off.
At the club, Club 1080.
Talking to your doctor about your poop.
Dick poop.
At the club, Club 1080.
You have a lot of players.
A paya.
Big deal.
Paya.
They've got a nut in their mouth and it's really cute.
What's going on?
I would not say that. I wouldn't say it either.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Hello. I was just reading about the Antonellis. Have you seen that Capital One ad? I'm sure you have.
Yeah, probably.
The Antonellis cheese shop. The couple is talking about the credit card. And they're just the cutest little couple. And they're talking about, they work in a cheese shop and some credit card Capital One has. Anyway, they're the couple in that ad, like the What's in Your Wallet ad. And I was just reading about them. I guess that's a real business. And by the way,
They go to the business in the commercial. I'm watching it now, and no, I have not seen this commercial.
You haven't seen that ad? Oh, my God. I don't know if it's
I really don't watch commercials anymore.
I don't know if it's just what I watch, but whatever it is I'm watching, I think maybe it's on baseball games or whatever. That ad is on all the time, the Antonellis. Well, I guess it's a real business. It's a cheese shop in Austin, Texas. And they are thriving. Apparently, they are like the cheese stewards for all the Austin and other surrounding areas chefs. All the top chefs use the Antonellis for their cheese. But I always wondered,
so
like,
they're a little bit like Tillamook,
how do you,
in a way?
They're like a, it's a cheese shop.
Right, it's smaller, but in terms of Tillamook cheese is on the menus all over this region.
Yes, but I think they just make their own cheese, whereas the Antonellis are like a third party. Like, they're like, they do private parties and pairings and tastings and the hosting events and stuff, and you go and buy your cheese in there. So you can get Tillamook, you can get all kinds of different cheese, I would imagine. But I've just always kind of wondered, like, you see them on that ad, I'm like, what did that ad do for them? Like, was that luck? Like, it's not an ad for them, it's an ad for Capital One, but they put them in the ad as the small business that they wanted to feature. How lucky are they to have been chosen? I mean, imagine what that did for their business.
Because I bet you that
ad is on all the time.
I bet you there was a huge process to pick the company going to promote in the ad.
Probably.
And they probably had to apply and then go through 17 different steps to then be the final one.
Well, that's what I'm trying to find out. I'm reading about them now, the Antonelli's. I will report back. But if you've ever wondered where the Antonelli cheese shop is, it's in Austin, Texas. And I'm going to try to find out how they were chosen for that ad.
It's like when you go on Shark Tank, and even if you leave without a deal,
yeah,
the promotion you're going to get,
oh, it's huge,
is massive.
Right.
And that's why I think on that show, the Sharks are so willing to invest in a lot of these companies because they know at the very least they're going to be investing in something that's about to hit a boom temporarily because of the show.
Yeah, they move the needle.
Yes.
Is that show, are they still taping that show?
I think they are.
Shark Tank?
Yep.
That's a great show.
It's a great concept.
It's a great concept.
It's a great show. You can get a little tired of it after a while. It's a good show that you kind of get addicted to in little windows.
Yeah.
And then every time it's on, you'll watch it, and then you realize that it's the same.
That show has a lot of what Bar Rescue has, and I love Bar Rescue.
That's a show I've never seen.
I worked in bars. But Bar Rescue is great, and the appeal of it is, at least to me, is the human element of it, of how these people wreck their own bars. And oftentimes it's the family dynamic, or it's they just wanted a business and don't have any idea about the bar business. They're good business people, but they don't know anything about bars. It's just amazing how often people sabotage their own business. And that is fascinating because John Taffer rolls in, and he's wildly entertaining, and he rolls in and he's like, "Your business sucks." And then he yells at everybody and screams and yells. And then it's only a 30-minute show, and then by the end of it, he's got it all remodeled, and he's hugging them, and he's got him doing it. Like, it's not a hard fix. Like, what he has done is just, it's usually basics. It's like bar 101, but it's like, how do these people screw this up?
A lot of people go into that business with no idea what they're doing. They just want to have a bar, and that's why.
And there's
I've seen a show that's a lot like that. I don't know what came first. I used to watch Restaurant Impossible on Food Network, which is that exact same concept.
Yeah,
I forget the chef's name. It was the big beefy guy, and he would go and yell and scream, and he would fix the restaurant in an hour. And then they would have they would open it up with the new menu, and they would have people come in. And turns out most of that show is a scam. So I'm assuming probably most of Bar Rescue is a scam. And
I don't know if it's a scam, but it's clearly they paint it that he comes into this city, observes the bar owners, meets them, fixes their problems, remodels their entire place in like 4 days. That's not the point. The point is that he really does, seemingly, he does help these bars. Now, whether or not they keep it going once he leaves is another question. Sometimes they show that they don't. But it's just amazing. Like, bar owners, a lot of them, like you said, they want to own the bar because they're drunks and they just want to have a place to drink. And then, or they hire their family, or like, it's really fascinating. That's the same dynamic with Shark Tank, is like, you see these ideas, the ideas that the people have for their business is interesting, but also to hear the sharks just sit there and pick them apart, like the human dynamic of it becomes, you know, most people that bring their business in front of them, you know, they're called sharks for a reason. Like, they're coming after you, and people generally don't hold up in front of them, and you see why. And the human element of that is much like Bar Rescue, and that's what I love about those shows, is they just, even though it's business and it's a good idea, it's still people, and people are emotional and irrational and ultimately sabotage themselves.
Robert Irvine, the name of the big beefy chef who does Restaurant Impossible.
All right.
And somebody texted in, this commercial is the current one that is running every other break and is so cringe.
Which one is it?
It is the pubic hair commercial. Have you seen that one?
Maybe.
I believe it's for, you know,
I'm going to need more info.
It's one of the big female shaving brands, Secret or one of those.
Tell me about your
Venus
pubes, Mike.
And it is specifically for what appears teenage girls.
Oh, boy.
It's all animated, and it's a song about shaving your pubes.
I have not seen this, no.
And then it ends with their product line.
What are you guys watching?
This is just on Peacock. It's, you know, because Peacock has ads.
I don't have Peacock.
So every other ad on the shows we watch on Peacock, which is like Parks and Rec and Modern Family and stuff, is that stupid commercial. And
sounds a little pervy.
Every time it starts, my girlfriend and I look at each other and just go, no, stop playing this commercial. But we're talking about it. And that's probably the point, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm guessing somewhere right now, somebody is digging into the Antonelli's sordid past. And their old racist tweets will come out or something. You know, I don't know. Or probably. maybe they're perfect. I don't know. But the Antonelli's Cheese Shop, I've always wondered how they got on that show. And damn it, or that commercial. I'm going to find out. I'm gonna find that out if I have to go there myself. I've never been to Austin, Texas. So maybe, well, I have, but as a very young child. Maybe I'll take a trip. So I was teasing. I was telling you about the Adam Sandler news. This is what got us onto TV shows last segment. But I was reading that his new Hoops film, which is called Hustle, is his highest rated movie ever on Rotten Tomatoes.
That is...
How about that?
Amazing.
Is
well,
it?
Well, no. Now that I think about it, he's in a lot of
crappy
cheesy comedies.
Movies. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to say crappy because some of those cheesy comedies are great. But they're all cheesy comedies, which you're not going to get super high reviews.
Yeah, like Wedding Singer was funny.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yep.
That was a good movie. I mean, good movie. Funny.
I think there are plenty of Adam Sandler movies that fall into, yeah, I like that movie.
I liked
it.
Big Daddy.
I hated Big Daddy.
You didn't like Big Daddy?
I liked Mr. Deeds.
Mr. Deeds.
I thought that was pretty good.
Obviously, Billy Madison, of course.
Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore. Waterboy.
Yeah.
You know, there's a whole realm of movies that he did that were really good, but they're cheesy. So,
yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't be surprised that a serious movie is the highest rated one.
Well, his previous high... Well, actually, it's a tie. So the Meyerowitz stories, 93% on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know what that is. Haven't watched it. But that was his highest. Tied with that is Hustle at 93%. So those two shows, movies, films, pictures... They call them pictures in The Offer, which I just finished, which is great. There's another show you guys got to watch. The Offer... The Making of the Godfather on Hulu. Hulu. I don't remember what that... No, it's not on Hulu. What's that on?
Well, you told us the other day.
Paramount Plus.
Yes.
Right.
And that's why nobody has seen it, because who the hell has that channel?
Really good show. So the top five Sandler movies on Rotten Tomatoes, or films, or pictures. Hustle, The Meyerowitz Stories, 93%. 92% is Uncut Gems, which I heard was good. Haven't seen it. And then you have Punch Drunk Love at 79%. So everything, but you know, like you go down his list, dude, he's got so many movies that are under 20%. He has a movie that is 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. 0%. Which is worse, Joey Gallo's career batting average or getting 0% on Rotten Tomatoes?
Joey Gallo's career batting average.
201. That's worse than 0%. Not zero?
Hey, you got to make some money sometimes, right?
The Ridiculous Six. 0% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Never heard of it.
I guess it's really bad. That's the one Suk always talked about. All right. So Hustle, anyway, I think is on Netflix. I might watch it because it's getting, you know, Rotten Tomatoes. I can believe Rotten Tomatoes, right? Like if something's 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, I should... That's good. That's better than, like, all the stupid, snotty critic reviews. Or maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
I think it's actually switched, where before I used to ignore the audience and only read the critic reviews, and now I almost do the opposite.
Because so you read the...
Well, I can read the reviews, but if it's like...
No, the percent. All you got to see is the percent.
I actually like to read the reviews, but or the blurbs. If it's like 58% critic and like 85% audience,
you like it. You're going for it.
I'll go see it.
Yeah.
Yes, because I think we've kind of switched in how people view movies, and now it's kind of changed how all of us kind of view. Because some of these Marvel movies, they all get like really good reviews, or most of them get really good reviews from the critics too. But then you got to look at the user score and be like, okay, so is this movie actually good, or did Marvel pay, or did Disney pay these review sites to write good reviews about their movies?
Yeah. All right. Well, Hustle's on Netflix, so people like it. Coming up next, how do we feel about a no cell phone restaurant? It is 6:16 on The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
I love scotch. I love scotch. Scotch is scotch, scotch.
On 1080, The Fan.
Can I get a hot tub?
All right. You know when you go to concerts, last one I went to where they make you put your, you know, they make you put your phone in a bag. Last one I went to that did that was Jack White. I think Dave Chappelle made us do that. And there are others. It happens. If you go to shows, you've had this happen. Because the artist doesn't want you filming their show. I'm putting it on social meds. Social med, bro. Well, now, a Fort Worth restaurant is banning cell phones.
I've actually never experienced that, by the way, at a concert.
Oh, you haven't had that?
Nope.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I mean, a lot of times you'll see people rip into them. Like, they're really hard to get into, but people do it. But it's like, why? I mean, I don't know, just go without your phone for 2 hours. It's not hard.
I think it's very hard for a lot of people.
2 hours? Like, and you're going to a show? Like
I think going captain? Without your phone for 10 minutes is very hard for a lot of people.
Yeah. These people got issues, bruh. Well, I don't mind it. You can have my phone. But this restaurant in Fort Worth is going phone-free, banning cell phones. You cannot, they're going to do the exact same thing. It's not like, hey, you know, you can't have a phone in here. Put it away. It's going into a locked bag, and it will not be unlocked until they walk out the door. Banning the owner is Tim Love, and he said, we wanted to make something that was special. We're going to kindly ask people to put their phones in the bag. We've already had that happen. Some people forget. They just have their phone in their pocket. We give them the bag.
Oh,
they put their
guy.
Phone in the bag. It's not a big deal.
He's a celebrity chef.
Is he?
Yeah.
Tim Love?
Yep. I've seen him before.
Yeah. It's an Italian restaurant called Caterina's. And I'm here for it. Only 40 seats. Six at the bar. Cozy place. No phones. No pictures. I think it's great. And he's going to get more pub from doing this. More than he will, people won't show up because they can't use their phone. Like, if the food's good, people are going to go there.
Well, I think there's a difference, too, in going to dinner is an easy amount of time to give up the phone, or it feels easier because you're usually going with other people that you can have a conversation with. I would be okay with this. I try not to use my phone when I'm eating dinner. Like, I'll just put it face down next to me and only use it if we're talking about something and we want to look something up. But, yeah, I would say this would be something I'd be willing to
try. How do you feel about a dress code?
At a restaurant?
Yeah.
Many have them. That's fine.
What about you must wear a jacket?
That's fine.
That's what he's requiring.
If that's what the restaurant wants, that's fine. It's their right to make those rules. I mean, you go to a fancy restaurant and you dress nicer anyway, right?
And if you forgot your jacket, they'll loan you one at the front door.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah. That's like at Augusta National. Not that I would know. But you have to have a jacket to eat there. And they'll give you one. They'll get your size and they'll go down and bring you one.
That's fantastic. That's so, like what Sprague had happen at my pre-wedding party for the Portland people. Because Sprague showed up in an Oregon State t-shirt, and you know, everyone was dressed, you know, it was, you know, nice, you know, casual but buttoned up shirts and stuff. And
was this the one I was at?
Yes, you were there. And he went, and the staff of the hotel gave him a buttoned up shirt for the party.
Yeah, see, it's guilt. Play on your guilt there.
Yep. Well, and some, have you ever noticed that there, you eat at a lot of nice restaurants, or you did at least, there's always like one person who almost flaunts that they're dressed, underdressed for that restaurant. I remember once I went to Higgins and there was somebody there who was wearing like one of those winter hats that had like ears on them and like a t-shirt and cargo shorts at Higgins, and didn't even take the hat off with the ears. It was an adult. And I was like, wow, like you're just flaunting the fact that you're just wearing this here. Everyone else is dressed pretty nice, and then you're just wearing your little cat hat.
Well, I, being from the Midwest, you know, believe it or not, at least when I was growing up, when I was there as an adult, it was very formal. Like, when you went out at night, you dressed up. Like, you certainly didn't wear a hat. You know, I remember the dress. You know, it was like nice pants and a nice button-up shirt, you know, go hit on some ladies. But I will tell you, living in Oregon, and I love this because I am at heart a flip-flop and hat guy, but there is nowhere you can go in Oregon and be like, somebody will always underdress you here. Like, weddings,
very casual here. Yes.
Yeah. And it's still weird. It's still weird to me that people dress the way they do at weddings here. Like, weddings are like, that's a really formal event.
Yeah.
But here,
I would say it's
you'll
way
see
more
guys
common,
in shorts.
Way more common here to have the all casual wedding or the, you know, just buttoned up in khaki wedding as opposed to wearing a suit. Yeah.
I just think in Oregon, man,
such a different vibe.
It is such a different vibe. Somebody's always going to underdress you. That's why I always, you know, people come to visit or whatever. It's like, what should I wear? Like, don't even worry about it. You'd be shocked at what people wear.
and I mean, we've talked about it. I'm a very casual dresser in general, but I do have a section of my closet that is nice enough clothes for fancy restaurants and or weddings, but not funerals, apparently, because I'm an idiot.
Yeah. Cargo shorts at Sook's dad's funeral. Way to go, Mike. Well, I once wore, so I was at one of our first trips to the Wynn, and we go there often now and know the routine, but they had pants policy at Sinatra, the entire restaurant there. And I walked in with shorts. Looked nice, but I had my golf shirt and shorts on. Closed-toed shoes. And they said, you cannot eat here. And we're all ready to eat. We're starving. Probably half in the bag, if I remember correctly. And they said, nope, got to wear pants. I didn't bring pants on this trip. Just wasn't aware of the policy. A guy walks in with jeans, which are pants, and a Beavis and Butthead t-shirt. And he walks right through and sits down. And I'm like, well, now, and I'm not getting pissed because they're just doing their job. And like, they're very strict about it. But I'm like, dude, how is that guy the Beavis and Butthead t-shirt, but he has jeans covering his knees? How is that guy better dressed than me? But anyway, I was like, whatever. Fine. I'll go down to the shops at the Wynn. They have a bunch of shops there, and they're astronomically priced. And I'll shop for a pair of pants. And I did, and they were like over $400. So I bought a pair of pants for $400.
What?
Yes. And I put them on my sexy body. And I went into dinner, and, you know, my wife and the people we were with were laughing at me. And my full intention was to return the pants.
Yeah, I would hope so.
But I told my wife, I go, nurse, so nice. Comfy. I swear to God, these are the nicest, most comfortable pants I've ever put my balls into. This is incredible. Like a whole new world opened up to me. Like, these are unbelievable.
A whole new world.
And I said,
you're going to love my nuts.
We were early in the trip, and I said, if we win money on this trip, I'm keeping the pants. We did not win money on the trip, and I returned the pants.
That's good of you to do. That was a smart decision.
But those, I dream about those pants.
Yeah.
They were freaking nice.
Did you look up the brand and maybe see if you can find it for cheaper?
No, I didn't.
Because you know you're not going to have to pay $400 on Amazon for them or wherever you got them from.
I don't know. I don't think you get those on Amazon, man. That's like a whole nother shopping experience there. But at least I was surprised that I found something for under, you know, $500. But I knew that I was going to probably return them, so I didn't care. I was just pissed. At this point, I just wanted to eat.
I
was freeballing.
I think that's a little bit cruel in Vegas to require that.
Why?
Just because of the temperatures.
Oh, no. Those casinos, it's ice cold in there. Very formal. I love it. I'm for it. I just didn't know it at the time. But I'm for it. I like standards. And I don't mind having to put my cell phone in a bag. I don't mind any of it. Somebody said, emergencies. People have emergencies. How can they leave their phones in a bag? Well, don't go. Or just give whoever is trying to get a hold of you, give them the number of the restaurants. They call the restaurant if you really need me. But, I mean, it's not that hard. Here's a chef. Sorry, waiter. He says, as a former waiter, I'm worried that a no-cell-phone restaurant would make customers hyper-focused on how long their food is taking and increase...
Yeah, the text got cut in half and is not there. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't see the rest
increase
of the text.
The amount of maybe negativity going towards the staff.
I don't know. I think it works the opposite. I would imagine, assuming someone isn't dining by themselves, that people might get lost in conversation. Like, I don't know. The whole phone thing, we've talked about this before, but I think the phone, everybody's always like, oh, look at how many people are on their phones. Why actually look at how many people aren't on their phones? When you're in a restaurant, and there's a lot of them. I mean, I just don't think it's that big of a problem. You always see that family, they're all head buried in the phone, but whatever. They probably hate each other. The kids are awful anyway. Who cares? But most people aren't on their phones in restaurants. So I'm all for the no-phone restaurant. It's in Fort Worth. Apparently it's great. It's an Italian restaurant called Caterina's. All right. What is Oregon's best kept secret? Next, here's Mike.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
Sitting on a cloud of judgment, handing down life lessons to all the sinners.
On 1080, The Fan.
Double Sun Power!
All right. All right. Ooh, what's going on here?
Hiya!
Somebody asked me the other day, a family member asked me what Oregon's best kept secret was because... my brother, his wife, and their two daughters are coming out here, and we're going out to Sisters next week to hang out. And they love the outdoors, they love Oregon, but they haven't explored too much of Oregon, and they're coming up here, and they said, hey, what is... So we were talking about all the things we're going to do. They said, what is Oregon's best-kept secret? And I thought, wow, I'm going to take that to the audience, because I don't know. That's a great question. 503-250-1080, if you have an idea. And I'm sure Casa Diablo will come in many, many times, but I'm not taking them there. The girls are 8, 9, 10, 9, and 5. But, you know, start them early.
Yeah. Give them the warning signs.
What do you think?
Or give them options.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm not the right person to ask
this. It's a tough one.
Because I'm not really that outdoorsy.
Well, it doesn't have to be outdoors. It could be anything.
Oh, okay. When I hear like
they are outdoors,
your best secret spot in Oregon, I think of like, what's that trail that nobody goes on that everyone talks about?
No, I'm saying
what's that hidden lake?
I didn't say spot either. Oregon's best kept secret. What is it? Now they are very outdoorsy, and we're going to be doing some outdoorsy stuff. But you know, I mean, I don't think, in other words, in Oregon on the outdoorsy part of it, I don't think there's anything that's really all that
secret anymore.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's so outdoorsy here, they've discovered all of it. Maybe, like, I went out to, so my aunt used to live in Joseph, way out there in eastern Oregon.
Yeah, and that's supposedly beautiful.
Dude, it's awesome out there. I had no idea until I went out there to visit her or pick her up. The Wallowa Mountains are legit, so maybe that.
One thing I would suggest, and this is the beer person in me, is, and I don't know if you like bringing your family to breweries for beer and food, but
they love breweries.
Okay.
Brewery people.
In my opinion, something that's not talked about a lot, but doing the Cascade Locks, Hood River, I forget the name of the town that's a little bit south of Hood River, but there's a brewery called Solera that's just south of Hood River and has a view of Mount Hood, and there's a Red Barn. I forget the name of the town though. And then if you cross into Washington, you can go to White Salmon, and you can take 14 back, and there's a couple other breweries on the way. You can kind of hit like 6 or 7 breweries in that square of the gorge where you get to see the gorge, drive through it, cross the river, see the mountains, all that kind of stuff. And most of the breweries out there are really top tier. Like, you can go to Thunder Island and Frame and Double Mountain and Solera, and everybody's in White Salmon makes amazing beer. And there's the original Backwoods is also on 14 on that side of the river in Washington. There's a lot of really cool spots if you wanted to do like a little brewery day and just go out into the gorge. I always suggest that.
That's in Mount Hood, Oregon.
Oh, just the town Mount Hood?
Mount Hood, Oregon. Cool. Solera Brewery.
I think Parkdale is the other town over there I was thinking of.
That's a good one. That whole brewery thing.
Yeah.
I'm not a big brewery guy, but they are, so yeah, we might
just
do that.
If they like it, because, you know, you've probably brought them to a lot of the spots in Portland, and there's plenty of great stuff here, but if you want to do the road trip, see scenes, and drink a lot day with the DB, of course, that's a good way to do it. A
couple of, Multnomah Falls and Crown Point, I mean, come on, are you really calling that a secret? That's what people come here for.
That's like the number one place they go when they first visit.
Tourist place, yeah. I'm asking Oregon's best kept secret. Hell's Canyon near Joseph. Never been, but out there is beautiful. Somebody said Parkdale.
Well, yeah, that's the place that has Solera, I think.
Oh, it is Parkdale? Okay.
Or Mount Hood. I think they're right next to each other. Yeah.
The driving range at Langdon Farms. That's pretty good.
There's a park that's over by
Smith Rock, somebody said.
Over by like Silverton or something like that, that has like really nice waterfalls that I don't know if it's very common that people go there, but I've only been once and I thought it was beautiful. I can't remember the name of it.
The though. Shanghai Tunnels.
Silver Falls State Park.
Yeah, Silver Falls. I've been there. That's nice. And that is not a best kept secret.
Okay. I've only been once and I was like, oh, this is gorgeous.
Shanghai Tunnels. We've talked about those before. Most overrated thing Oregon has. Somebody said, best kept secret, you have to pump your own gas or our racist history. Should I tell them about that?
They probably already know about that.
Well, right? It used to be Bend. I would imagine there was a time when Bend was Oregon's best kept secret. No longer the case.
Also, if you find yourself going down out to the coast, maybe going to Tillamook for whatever reason, if you scoot on out from Tillamook to the coast, you can go up to Cape Mears State Park. And it's very little trail. It's not like a huge little thing, but it's right on the top of a cliff and you get gorgeous views of the coast and you can walk out to a lighthouse, which I think you can go into still. And it's really nice views up there and it's like 15, 20 minutes from Tillamook. And you get to go past a cool little beach town called Oceanside, which looks really pretty on there.
Somebody else said the stretch of coast between Newport and Florence is amazing.
Just as like a driving,
I guess.
Just to see the views.
The Painted Hills Desert. While out in Sisters, it's hot, but looks like you're on Mars. That's come in a few times. Painted Hills. I'm going to check that out.
Are you spending the entire week in Sisters?
Yeah, I mean, not the week, but
okay.
4 or 5 days out there, playing some golf, doing some like kayaking, you know?
I'm going to say, you should ask Sook, because Sook's the Bend man. Sook loves going down there.
Well, I know a lot about Bend. I've never really stayed in Sisters, though. We have a house in Sisters. But they're very outdoorsy, so I just, you know, there's going to be a lot of hiking and things like that, of which I'm not as familiar. Probably should be. Best kept secret.
You don't love hiking that much, right?
I'm not a huge, you know, look, it's not my favorite. But I'll do it. I prefer Bandon, but, you know. Talk about Oregon's best kept secret, Bandon Dunes, right there.
Not much of a secret anymore.
Tent City at Delta Park. Yeah, that's right. A lot goes down there. The old McKenzie River Highway near Sisters. Not really a secret, but open for a few months during summer. Okay.
It'll be pretty close to Crater Lake there. I think this is one of the times you can go and not have it be snowy, right?
Yeah. Somebody said Ontario, Oregon. Great state pen. Thank you.
I love how well you do this show. That most of the texts that are going to come in, we're going to be joke texts.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, it's a good mix, too. Yakets, but don't tell. Really? Crater Lake? Come on. That's like the most visited place in Oregon, isn't it? What is the most visited place in Oregon?
It's Multnomah Falls, I think.
Probably Multnomah Falls?
Yeah.
Closer to Portland?
Multnomah Malls.
Crater Lake, I tell you, that it's hard to get down there, man. That's a long way down there.
I've never been.
You never been to Crater Lake?
No, the one time I tried to go,
brother,
I didn't look up beforehand what the situation was, and we started going, and it was like, highway to Crater Lake is closed due to snow. Please come back another time or use the other highway, which was way out of the way. And I was like, you know what? Next time.
It's great.
I've only been to Bend like twice, so I have not really gone central South Oregon all too often.
Somebody else said downtown Oregon City, tons of dive bars and bar fights. Yeah. Downtown Oregon City, man. Let's go. Joseph in Hell's Canyon is amazing. Silver Falls, Brookings, Gold Beach.
So that's like the south coast, right? Brookings and Gold Beach.
Yeah, way down there. Yeah, there's a lot of hidden gems in Oregon. I'll bring some of those back to them when they come. Thank you. And that Vortex, have you ever been to that Oregon Vortex place?
Nope.
You know what I'm talking about, though?
No.
You haven't heard of that? I got to look this up, but
Vortex, like,
I think the kids would like that. Well, it's like the place where, don't they talk about how like stuff like rolls uphill and like it's this weird.
Oh, it's like a little
universe
like,
place that.
Yes, I feel like I have heard.
That's
about
like
this.
In Southern Oregon or something.
Yeah, it's somewhere out in the middle of nowhere.
You don't hear much about it anymore, but
it's
I
like
wonder
the
if,
Enchanted Forest, but different.
Yeah. By the way, I looked up a list of Oregon's best kept secret.
Don't tell me Enchanted
It was
Forest.
On. Yes, it was on there.
Oh. No.
So I deleted it.
That was list. Bullwinkle's on there too?
Bullwinkle's. You know what was on there that was interesting was that Bigfoot trap. You heard of that?
No.
I guess there's a Bigfoot. They made a Bigfoot trap back in the day, a long time ago, many years ago. And it's still there, and it's interesting to visit about how they were going to trap Bigfoot. And apparently people still get trapped in it.
Maybe but, don't keep it around if people are getting trapped
well,
in
it's
it.
It's a touristy thing. All right. Thanks for the suggestions. John wraps it up next on The Fan.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6 foot
this
six.
This is Mailing It In with Big John Sicanic on 1080 The Fan.
And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John. Big Bad John.
All right, here's John. It is Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch, which is coming up next. Nobody so stay tuned for that. Hello, how are you?
We're here. Hello?
Hello.
He didn't seem
hello. Kind of hey. Quiet and shy.
And if you spoke, am I on? I didn't hear the little beep.
You're on the air.
Oh.
What?
It was a close call. I was John. Right at go time. I had the go time. So oh. It was a race against the clock, Isaac Kropp. I know you can sympathize with me because you've had that race against the clock.
Oh, who hasn't? And that maybe would have been fun, maybe a little whimsy with you from the toilet.
Well, I tried to, like, I answered for Mike, and I was talking to him, and I was hoping he wouldn't notice, but there's no way you don't notice. Like, there is just the sound that you know whoever you're talking to is in the bathroom.
Correct.
So I even thought about lying to Mike and being like, I'm in the garage, but, like, that you can't pull that off. So I just said, yes, I'm in here, and it's a race against the clock. And he said, yeah, 23 seconds. I shifted into high gear. And look, I'm not saying it's my finest work, but I'm out, so we're okay.
Are you a long pooper?
Yes, but not necessarily because of the act itself. I'm comfortable in there. I'm a reader. I like to read. I have magazines in there. I'm on the phone. I'm doing things. So I don't think it's the act that takes any longer than anybody else, but I'm in there a long time for sure.
Okay, because I am. Mm-hmm. No, I'm the other way around. I'm in and out. I take care of business. And sometimes, you know, it comes back to bite me because, you know, 30 minutes later or even, you know, 15 minutes later, you're like, oh, darn it. And you go back. But I'm okay with that.
You're not a reader in there, really?
Oh, yeah. No, I do. But, I mean, like, look, let's put it this way. This morning, you know, morning constitution. I'm like, all right, got to head in there. And then I forgot my phone. I'm like, oh, well, I better go get my phone. But that still doesn't mean I'm not, like, in and out, you know.
Right.
You know,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not sitting there for a while. I'm getting business done, and I'm out of there. There's really two types of people in the world, fast poopers and slow poopers. And I get it. I get both ways. I'm a faster.
Yeah, I'm definitely a slower. In fact, it's known in my family. Like, if we're on the way out somewhere, and I'm like, give me a second. I got to go there. Everybody's like, oh, well, take your shoes off.
Yeah.
You might as well. Lay down or make a sandwich or have a nap because we're not leaving the house anytime soon. And I guess that's just how I am.
You know, I have a friend like that too. And look, I get that that's your style. But man, if people are waiting on you, I need you to hurry it up.
Well, you can only, if somebody's waiting, like, I won't read. Like, I'm not going to, if the family's waiting, I'm not going to crack open a novel. But there's only so much you can do to hurry that along. If you hurry it too much, you're just asking for trouble in a number of different ways. So you kind of got to let it run its course in its own time. And if mine takes longer, then that's just kind of how it is.
Yeah. All right. Well, have you heard from your brother out
no,
there?
No, in fact, it's funny. I don't even know where he is. And in fact, it just occurred to me yesterday talking to you on the radio that he was, like, Monday, I didn't even realize he wasn't there. I just thought he was, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And then yesterday I was like, wait, that's 2 days in a row. And then I was like, oh, he's not even there. So where did he go? He doesn't tell me these things. He likes to be secretive.
Well, he's clearly a key piece of our show to you.
Well.
But he is at he's up in the San Juan Islands, I believe.
Really?
Yeah. Took his family up there.
Now, this is well documented. He's my least favorite piece of the show. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, of course.
Right. So, no, he doesn't, unless, and this is also well documented, unless he needs something from me, like a ride, or to watch a dog, or to do something like that, he's not.
Yeah.
Travel plans. I'll never know he's gone. And again, unless he needs something. That's just classic Big Sue.
Yeah, he does his own thing. Where are you guys? Well, you guys just got back from vacation, right? You went to Seattle?
We just went to Seattle for the weekend, so it wasn't. I don't know that I would I don't know that I would qualify that as vacation, but we went on a little mini baseball tour. I somehow convinced my wife to go to 3 different games in 3 days, and that was a major win for me.
That's cool. What does constitute a vacation? Like, what is it? Like, do you have to miss a day or two of work? What is when do you actually call it a vacation? And if you're from Portland, can you vacation in Seattle?
No, I was going to say that's a great ask by you, Isaac. That may need another segment to break down. Because missing work is part of it, but you could also vacation on a long weekend or something. But I think you were kind of going where I was. If you're from Portland, I don't think Seattle. Like, I go to Seattle 30 times a year, so like, I don't feel good calling it a vacation.
Yeah, I never go to Seattle, and I still don't think it's a vacation. Like, we go up and visit my father-in-law lives up in Port Orchard, and we go visit him. I don't call that a vacation.
No, it's a nice getaway, but I wouldn't call it a vacation. And I don't know. I don't know what that is. Is it a time? Is it like how long away it is, or how long it takes you to get there, or missing work? I don't know. I think this deserves more time.
Yeah, I do think we need to do an exposé on this, and perhaps we will do that tomorrow. Lord knows we have enough segments. I'll do some noodling.
Research. I'll do a little research as well, see if I can come up with some definitive subject matter.
Is it possible? Like, my first thought is possibly it has to be planned. You know, you can't just pick up and go to Seattle on a weekend and like vacation.
I think that's an important part of it. I agree. I think if you can just go on a whim, it's not necessarily a vacation.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll discuss it. You noodle with that. We'll reconvene. You have a great night. Okay.
Okay. And by the way, Mike, Yankees suck. Go Mariners.
Yankees suck. Yeah, Mariners took two out of three from the Spanks. Stupid Spankies. All right, we got to go. Coming up next, Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch. We're back tomorrow, 3-7 on the Fan. Good night.
Red Ships of Spain. Red Ships of Spain.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.